Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
If you, like many people, are thinking, you know what sounds good for lunch is Trader Joe's steamed chicken soup dumplings. Yum, yum. Well, why don't you wait a couple of days? Because more than 61,000 pounds of Trader Joe's steamed chicken soup dumplings are being recalled. Yeah, it's possible contamination with hard plastic. Somebody, I guess, dropped a permanent marker into the chicken soup dumplings at the Trader Joe manufacturing plant by CG Foods Manufacturing. And sorry. What are you going to do? Gosh darn it. I forgot to say something. And now people are saying, hey, there's pieces of hard plastic in my dumpling soup. I don't wish that on anyone. So there have been no reports of adverse reactions or injuries. So if you're concerned and you may have the product in your freezers or your refrigerators, don't consume them and, return them to the place of purchase or just throw them away. But for sure, be on the lookout for hard pieces of permanent marker in your Trader Joe's steamed chicken soup dumplings. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Bed bugs in the news again. Yes, if you're not aware of what bed bugs are, they're small blood-sucking insects that infest homes and hotels. And we talked about them a few months ago when they were found in France, and France is getting ready for the Olympics, and they're trying to get rid of all the bed bugs before the onslaught of all the visitors coming for the Olympics. France is now blaming Russian disinformation for the bed bug panic. Yeah, it couldn't be that, I don't know, all your places of residences have bed bugs in them. Nope, that's Russian disinformation. Okay. But if anything would make you watch MSNBC. Now, I don't watch MSNBC very often. I watch the clips from time to time. Sometimes it shows up on a television in my home and I happen to catch a bit of a show here and there. But I see now where the MSNBC's Manhattan headquarters has been kind of shut down because of an infestation of bed bugs. If anything would make me watch MSNBC, that would be it. I would love to watch MSNBC doing election coverage, because if you're listening live, today is the 5th of March, 2024, Super Tuesday, and they're going to be doing their election coverage tonight. It would be awesome to have them doing election coverage and seeing bed bugs crawling on them. Is it just me? I would love to see that. Now, they're shuttering some of their studios out of an abundance of caution, of course. And so they're already borrowing unused local studios for some shows because space is tight for some reason. I don't know, but they brought in exterminators and they're ready to treat the studio and all the green rooms and control rooms. That is awesome. I mean, it's not awesome because bed bugs are nasty and I don't really wish them on anyone, and I don't want them in my life. I don't want them in my home. I don't want them in your home, but I do want them at MSNBC studios just to say, oh, look, there's Rachel Maddow telling me election coverage. What's that on her jacket? Is that a bed bug? Man, that makes me want to watch the shows desperately. it is a way to get the ratings up. Just watch the shows in hopes that you're going to see a guest or a host have a bed bug crawling on them during one of their reports. That would be awesome. I don't know that I'd want to go to theaters in New York either. Big surprise, but bed bugs are everywhere. Hotels, bed bugs. We know that there were some bed bugs in Vegas. Health inspectors with Southern Nevada Health District said that bed bugs were seen at the Encore, Venetian, Excalibur Hotel and Casino, and Mirage. There were guest complaints that led to a bed bug sniffing dog being used at the Encore, where a live bed bug was found. So I'm not a big fan of bed bugs. I used to work with a guy who said, and he was a bug man. That was a long time ago. But he said whenever he goes to a hotel, I think I've talked about this before. I know I have. How you go into a hotel, and that's you go into the hotel room and you strip down all the bedding, all the comforters, all the pillowcases, everything, and you look for bed bugs, and then you request fresh linen and fresh comforters and fresh pillows and pillowcases so that, you know, there's no chance of bed bugs infecting your stuff. That's kind of a pain to do, but it makes sense to do now, I'll tell you that. I don't want anything to do with bed bugs. I mean, we see now that they're saying due to global travel and inadequate pest control, bed bugs have made a strong comeback in 50 countries since the late 1990s. Oh, isn't that special? It couldn't be because we have so many people, you know, traveling, I don't know, into this country illegally. No, that couldn't be it. It's got to be due to travel and people coming from other countries, you know, on vacation. Like when you go to Vegas or you go to New York and gosh darn it, did I bring some bed bugs with me? Oh, shoot. I should have checked. Yeah, you should have checked. So be on the lookout when you're traveling around the country and the world because bed bugs are back. And this time, they're pissed. Oh, did anyone hit the Powerball? I forgot to check. Let's see. Oh, no one did hit the Powerball. There hasn't been a winner. So the next Powerball drawing is Wednesday, March 6th. The jackpot is $485 million. The cash payout is $232.4 million on the Powerball. And then, of course, Mega Millions, there hasn't been a winner in quite some time. That drawing is today, the 5th of March, 2024, for $650 million jackpot. And the cash option is $308.6 million. So good luck to those of you that play Lotto. And man, I hope you win some of the bigger drawings because I am looking forward to hitting that jackpot. I see where Spotify has just been all over the news. So they claim that they generated $9 billion, or the music industry generated $9 billion on Spotify last year. And half of that total went to independent labels and artists, so $4.5 billion. That's pretty cool. Streaming has leveled the playing field in many ways since it became the main platform for music. A decade ago, and Spotify defines artists signed to a non-major label or self-releasing now account for half of that total for the first time, and that is huge. They have 236 million paying subscribers. They are the world's largest paid music streaming service, with the U.S. its biggest territory. Pretty incredible. Now, they're also in the news because Apple just got fined $1.95 billion from the European Commission because they claimed that Apple used its dominance to restrict music streaming competition. So it wasn't enough that Spotify was making all this money. It wasn't enough for Spotify. And you know, I agree. European regulators determined that Apple, for at least a decade, prevented music streaming services, i.e. Spotify, from telling iPhone users that they could get cheaper subscriptions outside of Apple's App Store, which resulted in users paying higher prices. The fine is the third largest penalty ever levied by the EC against a company. Well, you know, I'm kind of torn on this because if you wanted to see about getting something cheaper, shouldn't that be on you? I guess not. Apple should have said, hey, buy our service or you could get something cheaper over here. So Apple called out Spotify, who this complaint started in 2019, which, you know, led to the investigation that led to the fine. It's the biggest beneficiary, claiming that Sweden-based company is the one with the monopoly in the music streaming market, and Apple plans to appeal the ban. Yeah, well, hello. When they're already talking about 236 million paying subscribers, which makes them the world's largest paid music streaming service. Yeah. Oh, well, the U.S. is number one, not the EU. But Apple, you know, kind of has a point. It's just big money fighting big money is all that it is. Everybody wants their cut. And the EU Digital Markets Act, which is a law aimed at ensuring that smaller companies, you know, like Spotify and Apple, can compete with Apple, Meta, Google, and Microsoft. Yeah, I mean, are these smaller companies, are they going to be able to compete? I guess they need to make that happen. It just doesn't seem fair, but life isn't fair, so I'll just stop and say, good, I'm glad. And if this helps the smaller companies compete against those bastards at Apple, Meta, Google, Microsoft, and even Spotify, then good. Speaking of music, I see where your girl, Taylor Swift, is back in the news. I don't know that she ever left. She continues to be a force globally. The two stories that are first and foremost in my timeline are she was being paid to show up and do concerts in Singapore. They struck a deal with Taylor to only do shows in Singapore. And the deal is, hey, we'll give you $3 million a show. Wait, what? Yeah, $3 million a show. So, okay. Now, that means that she is playing six shows in Singapore at $3 million a show. That's $18 million just to be exclusive to Singapore. So other Southeast Asia countries are a little bummed that they have to travel to Singapore to see Taylor Swift and her Eras tour in Singapore. So that's just to play, right? I mean, she's still getting money from the tickets. She's still getting money from all the merchandise sales. That's just, hey, you can't play anywhere else in Southeast Asia but here. And here's an extra $18 million to do six shows. That's pretty hard to turn down. And then the other story, the Taylor Swift people, the team, has not commented on what they're calling a controversy. Not a controversy. Hey, come to Singapore, play in Singapore. You can't play in any other countries in Southeast Asia. And we'll give you $3 million up front for each show. Okay, no problem. I'll be happy to do that. Then we have the story of Taylor Swift being related to the American poet Emily Dickinson. Apparently, according to Ancestry.com, the singer and Emily Dickinson are sixth cousins, three times removed. I always love the, it's my second cousin, two times removed. But that's not Taylor and Emily. They are sixth cousins, three times removed. So removed means you and a cousin are one generation higher or lower. So three times removed means three generations apart. So the bloodline is there. And, you know, it's definitely they're both tortured poets. Are they? All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Now, we do have the Oscars coming up this weekend, and I was looking at some fun facts about the Oscars. That cost $56.9 million is the total cost of the ceremony. I don't know what all that includes, because they talk about it costing $24,000, almost $25,000 for the 50,000 square foot red carpet that they use. And then they talk about it, you know, $10 million is what the cost of the look for an A-list actress attending the Oscars. So it just depends. And, you know, we're going to have Jimmy Kimmel again, doing the fourth time as the host. That's his third consecutive time in 5 years, and his fourth time as a host. Doesn't even have him come close to the most done by Bob Hope, who did it 19 times. Billy Crystal did it 9 times. Johnny Carson did it 5 times. And no solo host has done it more. Whoopi did it 4 times as well. But it's a good bet that among those hosts, no one has seen as many of the nominated films. Oh, okay. So Jimmy says, oh, I've seen all the movies. I bet you they never saw them all. Yeah, okay. Whatever you say, Jimmy. We got you. So the event is coming up this Sunday, March 10th, 2024. It starts earlier. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern, and it's the 96th Annual Academy Awards, live coast to coast. And they got a full lineup of presenters. You're going to see, Bad Bunny, Chris Hemsworth, The Rock, Michael Keaton, Regina King, Jennifer Lawrence, Kate McGinnon, Rita Moreno, John Mulvaney, Catherine O'Hara, Octavia Spencer, Rami Yosef. And then we also have presenters, Mahershala Ali, Nicolas Cage, Jamie Lee Curtis, Brendan Fraser, Jessica Lange, Matthew McConaughey, Lupti, Nehong, Al Pacino, Michelle Pfeiffer. Pacino's going to waddle out there. It'll be good to see Al. Michelle Pfeiffer, Sam Rockwell, Zendaya. It'll be great. It'll just be a star. Star-studded Oscars from the moment the lights come on. One of the things that's happening, though, that I love is that they do not want the unwashed masses around the Oscars. So remember at the Grammys, they had the pro-Palestinian protesters that showed up, and they had to stop the red carpet event, and people were all wound up that protesters were there. Yeah, that's not going to happen at the Oscars, okay? Because they are putting up what's being called a ring of steel. The surrounding area around Hollywood Boulevard is going to be blocked off with a chain link fence. And police, along with federal agencies, are going to work together. And you have to be able to be a somehow washed person to get past the fence. If you're an unwashed masses, no, you're back over there. Yeah, you can protest, but you can protest over there, not in here. In here? Yeah, no, we do not want you here. The Dolby Theater here on Hollywood Boulevard? Yeah, you're not getting in here, okay? That is awesome. We do not want the unwashed masses around. Yeah, we love you. And go see our movies. And it's important that you love us. Just love us from over there. Don't love us over here, because we want to be over here with our people, okay? I mean, it's agonizing. I had a story in the fat pile for quite a while that I haven't gotten to, and it fits in with this, where Leonardo DiCaprio, I guess, was filming some movie in San Francisco, and he made them get rid of all the homeless people and clean up the streets and get rid of it all while they were filming. And it's just, you know, I get it. I do. I understand. They've got the deal. We're filming in this area, in this park. But every time we start filming, there's those people. We can see them in the camera shot. So clean them out. Clean it out. You can come back when the filming is done. But no, we place signs on your tents that you got to pack up and leave, because we are filming here in Sacramento, and we want you unwashed masses away from us, okay? It's just amazing that if you are an unhoused person, we love you and we care about you just over there, not here. No, we can't do anything for you here. So when you're watching the red carpet at the Oscars, just remember the Ring of Steel has the unwashed masses over there. And the star-studded event will not have any of the unwashed masses coming close to them. Plus, if I'm busy taking home my Everybody Wins gift bags from Distinctive Assets, I don't want the unwashed masses to see my gift bags. So the 28 expensive Everybody Wins bags are gifted to the nominees for Best Director, Best Actress, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, as well as the three hosts of the evening, Regina Hall, Wanda Sykes, and Amy Schumer. And I'm sure Jimmy's got a get one, right? So Jimmy's got to have a bag. The lucky nominees, we get the $140,000 Everybody Wins bags they get to take home. 53 elaborate items in total. You get a $15,000 four-night stay for two at a luxury resort and spa. $12,000 liposuction voucher. Who doesn't need one of those? A $25,000 worth of home renovations, of course. An assortment of designer popcorn. Love that. $1,200 life coaching session. And my favorite, much, much more. The most expensive item to make it into this year's gift bag was the $50,000 three-night stay in Scotland at the Turin Castle, which was inspired by Denzel Washington's Best Actor nomination for The Tragedy of Macbeth. So when I'm taking the swag bag home, I do not want the unwashed masses being around that. So, man, do I love the Oscars. Today? Well, we'll begin with Britt Turner. Britt Turner, drummer for the popular, and I use that word loosely, southern rock band Blackberry Smoke, has died at the age of 57. Very sad. He was diagnosed with glioblastoma, right? Glioblastoma, a cancer of the brain, and underwent surgery for aggressive condition in November of 2022. And following that treatment, he continued to play with Blackberry Smoke on tour through December of last year. So actually, he's an amazing man, and very sad that he lost his life. Britt Turner, dead at the age of 57. Also, for those of you, I don't know if it's completely gone, but it did briefly die today. Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, these all kind of died today. And so there was some kind of issue with them. But I believe that we got out the paddles and we brought it back to life. So by the time you're listening to Chewing the Fat here, whenever that is, if those of you that aren't listening live, I'm sure that they're back to life. But they did die briefly today. I don't know if they saw a light or if it just went black. But for many people, it just went dark. Okay, so who else died today? Who died today? I saw where Ronnie Stoneman has passed away. She was 85. I did not know that she had died. She died a couple of weeks ago. Very sad. She is the first lady of the banjo, or I'm sorry, was the first lady of banjo. She was a big time performer on Hee Haw, and I was forced to watch Hee Haw as a child. I loved Hee Haw. Some of their bits were hilarious, and I know that they were the southern fried version of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. Yeah, I know. They used music and comedy to satirize country life, really. Hosts Roy Clark and Buck Owens and fellow banjo player Grandpa Jones. Amazing that Veronica Loretta Stoneman was born in Washington and grew up in Carmody Hills section of Prince George's County. Now, she was the second youngest of 23 children. Holy crap. When you look around and you see families with three kids, four kids, five kids, Stoneman's family spit on those families, okay? 23 kids. That's a big family. That's a big family. She was the second youngest. No way she was raised by her parents. She was raised by the older kids. Absolutely. So apparently she had a stroke, and then she died from complications after the stroke. Very sad. Ronnie Stoneman, dead at the age of 85. Now, it's funny that I didn't see where Ronnie had died. And she was, you know, part of the Grand Ole Opry and, you know, big time Nashville. But it was seen about her death while I was looking at a story about a plane crash in Nashville. And I was looking at the, you know, just was reading the story about a plane crash in Nashville. And then I see a story about where she died. And I just like this, the reason I was reading the story in Nashville. Okay, so there's a plane crash. It's very sad. It shut down, five people dead after this single engine plane crashes along a Nashville interstate. And as I'm watching it, as I'm reading about it, I think to myself, I would be so pissed, because in the story it talks about how the highway is still shut down. Clean it up. Let's move on. We have traffic and places to go. Do you remember the footage last week of the semi-truck driver that's hanging off the bridge, and they show the rescue worker coming, hanging down and saving the driver, the semi-truck driver, and the truck is just hanging off the bridge. And it was dramatic and it was awesome. And they saved this guy's life and the truck is hanging off the bridge. The only thing I'm thinking of, and I know it's just me, but the only thing I'm thinking of is that I would be so pissed, because you know they've got that entire bridge shut down and you are stuck in traffic, and once you're in it, you're in it. And you can quote me on that. Once you're in it, you're in it, and you're just stuck there waiting to try to get off this stupid bridge, waiting to try to get off this interstate where there's a plane crash. And I know, I got it. It's a horrific thing and I'm very sad that it happened, but on the other hand, man, I gotta get places. Speaking of getting places, I see where American Airlines has announced a massive order for new planes. They want 260 new aircraft. They ordered some from Boeing, some from Airbus, and some from Embraer. They did not disclose the financial terms of the order, but the package includes 85 Boeing 737 MAX 10s, which is a larger version of the MAX that has not been certified yet. It's years behind schedule. They have 277 on order. They removed the MAX 10 from its plans, at least temporarily. So, I mean, Boeing is still under, under the watchful eye of everyone by the Federal Aviation Administration to fix problems in its manufacturing system since, that panel blew off the old Alaska Airlines MAX 9 back in January. And speaking of that, I see where some passengers have sued Boeing for $1 billion over mid-flight panel blowout. Okay. I don't know. You know, I get suing Boeing over it. I don't know that it's worth $1 billion. I guess we're hoping to settle. So three Alaska Airlines passengers filed a lawsuit against the airline carrier and Boeing for $1 billion over the mid-flight panel blowout incident that occurred earlier this year. So, in January, the flight from Oregon to California forced to make an emergency landing, exit door panel blew out. And so, people were a little scared. And rightfully so. Jonathan W. Johnson, LLC, an aviation legal firm based in Atlanta, stated that three individuals on this terrifying flight recently lodged a lawsuit against the airline and Boeing. The complaint filed by the law firm on behalf of Kyle Rinker, Amanda Strickland, and Kevin Kwok claim the incident was an avoidable accident that put hundreds of innocent lives in danger. And because of that, we want $1 billion. We don't care about the rest of the people on the flight. We want $1 billion. Okay? I mean, I think they already paid him off, right? They gave him some kind of deal, the people that were on the flight. Yeah, the original deal, I think they offered him like $1,500 to compensate for the heroin experience. But not only that, do they have these three people suing for $1 billion. There's also another class action lawsuit filed by passengers that claims that the blowout physically injured some passengers and emotionally traumatized most, if not all, on board. Yeah, I don't disagree with this. I mean, I would sue too. I'd be a big part of it. They, you know, look. The door is designed to be held shut by 4 bolts and 12 stop fittings, which apparently were not put on correctly. So, yeah, somebody needs to pay something, and a lot more than just $1,500. Wow, so not only this weekend do we have the Oscars, as I talked about earlier, but South by Southwest kicks up this weekend in Austin, Texas. Man, do I want to be in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest, especially it's going to kick off the 38th edition with a special little sit-down with Meghan Markle is going to headline with Katie Couric and Brooke Shields. Oh, man, am I looking forward to that chat. Now, I kind of like Brooke Shields. Katie Couric, agonizing. Meghan is going to be agonizing. So a sociologist and DEI author, Nancy Wang Yen, also joins Breaking Barriers, Shaping Narratives, How Women Lead On and Off the Screen at 1 p.m. on March 8th in honor of International Women's Day. And boy, was that going to be great, isn't it? It is. I can't wait for Meghan to come on and tell us about that. Now, I just found out, though, I did not know this, all right, that she just, I guess I talked about it, I think, but she just signed a new deal with Lemonda Media to launch an Lemonda, L-E-M-O-N-A-D-A, however, Lemonada Media, to launch a new podcast and distribute Archetypes, her podcast that explores labels that attempt to hold women back. Yeah, those labels, man, you know how you got labeled as an actress on a hit show and then marrying a prince. Yeah, man, those labels held you back, didn't they, Meg? So we got that to look forward to. I can't wait for the clips of that. It will be wonderful. And if you're looking, you know, thinking, what should I be doing this weekend? Maybe head down to Austin and check out a little South by Southwest. It's going to be all kinds of speakers all weekend long. You're going to have Selena Gomez and Kirsten Dunst and Sydney Sweeney, who's on fire these days. Conan O'Brien, Daniel Kwan, Daniel Shannon, Coleman Domingo. Wow, there's and of course we'll get a Dell Technologies CEO Michael Dell is supposed to speak, which is, you know, I mean, Dell is a big time employer in Austin. And we're also going to have Executive Vice President of the European Commission and Commissioner for Competition. That's great. That's what I want to hear from in America, is the European Commission. Ugh. I'm surprised that What's-Her-Face isn't going to be speaking at South by Southwest. You know, the chick, you know, the chick. She probably loves being called the chick. Jessica Stern, who is the State Department's special envoy to advance the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex persons. This chick, Jessica Stern, who has boasted that she is the highest ranking lesbian woman. She's paid an annual salary of over $180,000, and she's tasked with promoting the views of the left on sex and gender, lobbying foreign governments, and assisting activist organizations. She's gone to Australia, to Brazil, to South Africa, to Sweden. She's traveling the world to push transgenderism and gender ideology. But it doesn't say that she's speaking at South by Southwest. So... oh, you know what? Maybe she's down in Haiti. Yeah, you know, Haiti has declared a state of emergency now. If you're thinking about going there on vacation or going there to visit, might want to wait. Gang leaders are now demanding the resignation of their prime minister, who we don't know where he's at. He has been missing since he traveled to Kenya, so he may not even be in Haiti. So gangs control around 80% of the capital. Gang violence, I mean, has plagued Haiti for a long, long time. 12 people have been killed. 3,700 inmates have escaped in this jailbreak. So things are looking great in Haiti. So if you want to spend a nice weekend in Port-au-Prince, now would be the time. Now would be the time. Maybe Jessica Stern, you know, the State Department Special Envoy to advance the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex persons, could head down to Haiti just to say, hey, guys, calm down. You need to be okay with transgenderism and gender ideology, you know, while you're overthrowing the government and killing people. Good times. Good times. You know, speaking of good times, I don't understand why these dating apps are trying to shake their hookup reputation. That's what they are. They are hookup apps. That's what they are. I know they're dating apps. That's right, I know. But I see where Bumble is laying off 30% of its staff. Wow. Their Q4 earnings report highlighted that not really doing really well financially. Remember, they got rid of their old founder and CEO and brought in a new CEO, and they want to, you know, making cuts. They're trying to save the company all kinds of money, and they plan to relaunch the app with new safety and AI features. And they want to woo Gen Zers because they claim that in a new survey that 79% of college and grad students said they don't use dating apps. I believe them. Don't you? Meanwhile, it said that in the same survey, 41% of users age 30 plus said they've paid for dating apps, compared to just 22% of users under 30. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a hookup app. That's what these apps do. Tinder, Hinge, Bumble. That's what they do. So now they're trying to reinvent themselves and say, oh, no, we're a friendship app and we want people to get together and we want to invest in in-person meetups. Do ya? Okay. All right. All right, let's go. I'll leave you with the joke of the day. This one made me laugh for the last 24 hours, so I'll share it with you. A woman walks into the pharmacy and asks the pharmacist for some arsenic. And the pharmacist says, what for? And she says, I want to kill my husband. And he says, sorry, I can't do that. She then reaches into her handbag and pulls out a photo of her husband in bed with the pharmacist's wife and hands it to him. And he says, oh, you didn't tell me you had a prescription. You know you laughed. You know you did.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.